Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We call this kind of writing in today's lesson wisdom. In everyday language, they are just proverbs. In fact, many of the ancient books were treasured and saved from ancient times for that very reason. King Solomon, recognized for wisdom in his own day, wrote many proverbs. Today's lesson personifies wisdom, and wisdom speaks about the rewards of cultivating wisdom. We as Christians get interested because the source of wisdom is God Himself. Our Heavenly Father is sometimes portrayed as wisdom. Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, has wisdom as well, because wisdom is conveyed in words, in understanding. Listen to this. Proverbs 8, verses 11 through 22. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are mine, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. The central question we bring to this text is this: what difference does it make if you have wisdom? Yes, it's good to be smart, but doesn't Joe Average get along in life just fine if he doesn't have the smarts? So what difference does it make? This really is not an issue of smarts. What it is an issue of what you do with the pieces of knowledge that you have. The big idea in this lesson is God, knowing God, having God's attitude toward the world and our living in the world. When we have wisdom, we understand how things fit together, how we relate to God. Let's take a closer look. Wisdom is a valuable commodity. Think about the most valuable thing you have or the most valuable thing you would like to have. Wisdom is more valuable than that. Think about affording a trip to a quaint, faraway country and finding a palace there, stacked to the roof with gold and silver and platinum and rubies and diamonds and jade and onyx. Think about a dinner table in that palace, stacked with everything you like, a dinner followed by the richest chocolate cake you can imagine with inch-thick butter frosting. Think about affording all that and even being able to take it for granted. Having wisdom is better than having all that. I think you get the picture. There are lots of things we have or can have, but none of them can rival wisdom. There is nothing that can compare to the wisdom that God has created. There is nothing that you can dream of having that is better than wisdom. The writer of Proverbs says this great truism very simply in verse 11, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her." Well, wisdom is like God himself. The ancients felt that. It is not that knowing by itself is like God, but rather that where God is, there is wisdom. Being where God is a valuable place, and hence wisdom is valuable because it is next to God. People are aware of Jesus and his great wisdom. Remember when his opponents actually decided to leave him alone because he had wisdom? His observation that we should render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's caused his opponents to know that this man had wisdom. The Bible says that they troubled him no more after that confrontation. Yes, wisdom is valuable, and people can see that it is there. That gets us to our second point found in verses 12 and 14. Wisdom brings perspective. Wisdom brings relationship with the world. It allows us to understand what we see. We like that, don't we? We like to live in our world without fear. Fear is recognizing that something is unknown and that we have to deal with it. With wisdom, there is always a strategy for dealing with those strange things that come along in our lives. That's what the writer of Proverbs means when he talks about wisdom dwelling with a person. But did you catch the rest of that? Wisdom helps us understand how God is working in our world. Understanding that God is here and now lets us know about evil and arrogance and perversity. If we cultivate wisdom and hold wisdom close, you and I can understand what is going on in our lives and the lives of others. If you have wisdom, you can have a solid life. A life that honors God and knows how to function in the kind of world we have. Here's what the writer of Proverbs says, verses 12 through 14. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth. I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Well, think about the wisdom of the Lord Jesus. He had this thing called the fear of the Lord in his very being. He hated evil and dealt humanely with people and their needs. No pride or arrogance was there. Jesus Christ had the strength of character that comes from true understanding. The Gospel of John and the letter to the Colossians in the Bible reveal that Jesus was the source of creation, being with God and being God from the beginning. Christ was the creator of, yes, you guessed it, wisdom itself. Where can this commodity called wisdom be found? Try looking for wise people. You will find that they are successful. Here's what we learn in verses 15 through 18. Successful people have wisdom. We know people who have been successful in life. The Bible explains that success comes from wisdom. One of the reasons we send our children to school is that we want them to be successful. People who have wisdom have what it takes when it comes to success. Take leaders of nations. Those who reign successfully seem to have the ability to see what is just and wise. Kings, nobles, princes, those who judge others, all of them rely on wisdom. When they respect wisdom, there is success. We all recognize that there is ungodly wisdom where leaders take advantage of people and nations. Indeed, the last leader of mankind before the coming of the day of the Lord will be this kind of poor leader. But we are talking about godly wisdom here. We understand that riches and honor are associated with godly wisdom. The writer of Proverbs notes in verses 15 through 18, "By me, wisdom, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness." The Bible talks about riches. The letter to the Philippians explains that Jesus Christ gave up the riches of heaven to save us from our sins. Christ had everything but became humble, even humble unto death, because he understood the heart of God. That is wisdom. The wages of sin is death. The price of death had to be paid. And Christ came as a baby to pay our price of sin. He grew up and lived for over 30 years and ultimately endured suffering and death just to pay for our sin. Where's the wisdom? Would you believe that it is in our salvation and restoration to our Heavenly Father? Jesus Christ accomplished what no other human being could. He is the most successful person there has ever been. And the book of Proverbs reveals that Jesus Christ had wisdom. Not only this, but verses 19 through 22 reveal something about eternal life with Christ. You see, wisdom endures. When you have understanding, when you are able to take the knowledge you have and use it wisely, your wisdom will stand you in good stead. It will bring you the resources you need for life and provide the savings and treasure you and your family need. Why? Because when you have wisdom, you possess what God used to construct the universe. The writer of Hebrews reveals that Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who, in his wisdom, has completed us. He did it through the cross. There is endurance for all eternity because of his work on our behalf. Personified wisdom says this, "My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of the righteous in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." That's verses 19 through 22 of today's lesson. It is good to look at some of the basic understanding we have because of the Bible. Wisdom really is not an issue of smarts. It is an issue of God, the Lord Jesus, and the plan of salvation. The big idea in this lesson is knowing God, having God's attitude toward the world, and understanding the Maker and Redeemer of the world. Wisdom reveals how things fit together and how we relate to God through the work of Jesus Christ. It is good to know that we have a wise God, a God who created wisdom itself. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at Historical Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on his people to worship him and share his word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104, near the Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Want additional information? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. These past days and weeks, Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill has been privileged to share God's holy word with you in the morning.